This is North Shore High School football, live today from Swampscott, where the Big Blue are playing host to the Gloucester Fishermen. Hi, everyone. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell for North Shore High School football on MSONewsSports.com. Today's game is brought to you by the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, the Lynn Auditorium, one premier entertainment venue, by the Porthole Restaurant, try their award-winning clam chowder, Columbia Insurance of Lynn, the Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn, Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli, attorney Robert J. Madruga, Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years, located in Lynn, serving the entire North Shore at harringtontrophy.com. Moore, GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969 on High Street in Danvers, by Monahan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor at Honeydew Donuts. And by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. Another spectacular weekend for North Shore High School football, and whether you're listening on radio or watching the live video today from Swampscott, this is a great place to be for Saturday afternoon high school football, Rick.
Absolutely. The field looks great. It's early autumn. The wind is blowing across from the far sideline to the near sideline. No factor last night. It might be tonight as we have this is what the exclamation point on the weekend, I think, Bill. Two great games last night with Beverly winning rather handily over Peabody by a score of 28-7, and your game went down to the wire there, Bill.
It did, with Revere coming out on top and a come-from-behind win, 19-14. Right, forgot about that, Rick. Right, dragging on. Let's put an end to the band here.
We're both doing the same roles here, either two number ones or two number twos. I'm not sure which it is.
Well, yeah, exactly. So the Swampscott team, Rick, we'll be checking in with both head coaches in just a moment. Looks like today we'll probably see both quarterbacks for Swampscott High School at some point during the game. Leo Wild, the senior, and Colin Frary, the sophomore. Wild, 6 foot 180. Frary, sophomore, 5'10". Frary helped lead the comeback at the end of last week's game against Lynn Classical at Manning Field in Lynn.
Nice to have that option, isn't it, with two quarterbacks. And, of course, they're going to rotate their usual stable of receivers as they have done in the past and doing more of the same. And Gloucester, on the other hand, with their they've made a few changes on offense. We'll talk about that in just a bit.
All right, again, both coaches coming up here just ahead, so stay with us. Tony Zarelli from Gloucester High School and Bob Serino, head football coach at Swampscott High School, all just ahead on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plastow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
If you come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
The pregame show is brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
With Fisherman Forecast, I'm Rick Moore, MSONewsSports.com, with Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli. And coach, on this Fisherman's Forecast, we always have to look back a week. What did you get out of the Beverly game now? What are the positives that you bring out of that into practice this week after, you know, they look pretty strong?
Yeah, it was definitely an eye-opening experience. You know, they were quick, I can say that. You know, they were quick off the ball offensively and defensively. And they're a good football team, and I think it really showed our guys, you know, what it takes, the work that they need to put in to become a better football team. Obviously, nobody wants to, you know, leave a game with a 34-0 score, but, you know, I think you learn from that, you grow from that, and going into, you know, league play, I think, you know, we're a better football team because of that. We put a lot of work in this week with the extra day on, you know, fundamentals, getting back to basics, things we worked on in camp, and really, really try to motivate our kids to go 100%, 110% every play and really work on the little things, because that's what really matters.
Coach, probably got 5 touchdowns, but they didn't get a lot of offense. There were not a lot of yards on offense, and did it indicate the defense played fairly well?
Yeah, they seemed to get short fields a lot, you know, and that's a testament to their special teams, you know. Their kickoff guy, their kicker, you know, every time we, you know, we end up starting the ball, you know, inside the 20 or 15, 20 yard line, and, you know, and they were good defensively, and we couldn't move the ball very far. We'd punt out, but they'd still get it on our side of the field. So they worked the field position game very well the whole game, and it showed, you know. They may not have had a lot of yardage, but they didn't need it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Madden's leg is something else. He's extraordinary.
All over the field, yeah. Kicking, offense, defense. You know, there's a few plays he lined up at the defensive end, and he just blew by our tackle and was in the backfield before, you know, fullback even got the football. So, good football players. They, I mean, I knew it going in, knew it when I signed them to the schedule this year that they were going to be a challenge for us. They were going to be a good football team, and they didn't disappoint.
Okay, well, Maskinomics has been doing this for years. They play out of league. They play tougher teams to start with to toughen them up. And now you get into the league schedule. Swampscott having a very good start with a brand new coach.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't look like they've missed a beat. You know, I have a lot of respect for Steve Nimbowski and what he's done over there. And with him leaving, you don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, watching the film, it looks like they're running the spread just as well as they ran it with him. And it looks like Coach Serino's really picked up where he's left off. And they seem to be functioning like Swampscott always does.
Mm-hmm. Any surprises, Tony, as you look at the first 2 weeks, you look around the league, classical 0-2, I think that's a bit of a surprise to me. Any, you know, Peabody 1-1, but looking strong.
Yeah, you know, excuse me. The fact that Classical is where they are, you know, is tough. You know, you always anticipate Classical being one of the top teams in the Northeast, and to see them at 0-2 is tough. I think Danvers is really impressed. You know, coming off of Thanksgiving last year, I knew they were a good football team last year, and it looks like, you know, they're right back at it. So that's really impressive. And you know, I think there's a lot of good teams out there. And in the first 2 weeks, it's funny because they play, you know, everyone's playing a little schools that we're not familiar with, right? Because they're all playing out of conference, so they're playing all over the place. So it'll be interesting to see once the, you know, now that the conference has kind of started, once they start playing, you know, the local teams, you know, what it amounts to.
What did the Thanksgiving Day game, is there a carryover from that? There was in Danvers, and I talked with Coach Terrio, and he said that, you know, the kids are still, they're still up from that. Is there a carryover for you guys with that, I guess, bitter taste, you know, is there a leftover on that?
Absolutely. We're still hungry from that. I guess on the other end of the spectrum, right, they're still high from, you know, from beating us, and we're still a little bit angry and a little bit hungry for it to get that trophy back. So, you know, that's well down the line. But, you know, we're still gearing for Danvers, and that's going to be a big game once we get towards the end of the season.
Well, what I meant was, is does it bring your kids in, you know, you bring them in and say, okay, our last game was a loss, we got to start over again.
Oh, it's not starting over. It's just getting back to work. And I think in that regards, you know, we were back in the weight room, you know, January 1, and these kids have been going straight through from January 1 to the beginning of camp with running and lifting. So I think there was definitely a commitment to get back into the weight room and get back in shape and get ready for football season this year. Absolutely.
What do you like about your kids so far, Tony? They look like it looks like you got some depth on the team.
Yeah, there's some depth. There's some toughness. You know, I'm really impressed with some of the kids from the junior class that have come to play this year. We got some kids in the linebacker corps, but the seniors are really being great leaders. You know, and I'll tell you what, you know, coming off a loss like that, we rebounded on Monday and we were back watching film, and by Tuesday these kids were back up and we're ready to play football again and we're ready to move on and to our next challenge and put a good football team out there on the field.
Okay, final thoughts about this weekend's game coming up on a Saturday at noontime.
Always interesting Saturday games, right? You get so used to playing Friday nights that it's always a little bit of a change of schedule. So, you know, we got to deal with that, and that's fine, and we'll do that. We actually have a game against Saugus on Saturday later on in the season. So we're going to have a few of those coming up, you know. So we'll be prepared. We'll be ready to go, and it'll be a nice time to, you know, travel to Swampscott. You know, we've hit two home games. It's good to get away for a little bit.
All right, Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli on MSONewsSports.com.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on Tuesday, September 29th, and I approve this message.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Don't miss a rare opportunity to see Keith Lockhart up front and personal at the Lynn Auditorium. He'll be playing with five hand-selected pop musicians October 1st. This is a great chance to see Keith in an intimate setting where he'll sing, play, conduct, and talk about his life. Then enjoy a 30th anniversary screening of John Hughes' classic The Breakfast Club, followed by a discussion and Q&A with 80s superstar icon and novelist Molly Ringwald. In addition, just 20 tickets left to the Super VIP After Party with Molly. For tickets, visit LynnAuditorium.com or call 781-599-SHOW.
Since 1897, the Lynn Museum has celebrated the history of one of America's most consequential cities. Recently merged with Lynn Arts, we are working to build a dynamic cultural hub where our past comes to life and new art is created. Join us for the final month of our baseball exhibit, America's Favorite Pastime, A Lynn Perspective, open until Saturday, October 3rd. The Lynn Museum is located at 590 Washington Street and open Wednesday and Friday 12 to 4, Thursday 12 to 7, and Saturday 10 to 3. Find us online at lynnmuseum.com.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn. Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
This is MSONewsSports.com. We are joined by Swampscott High head football coach Bob Serino. Bob, you picked up your first coaching win last week, head coaching win at Lynn Classical, the double overtime win. So your reaction to that game as you guys rally to tie and then go into overtime?
Well, it actually, just like the week before, the kids didn't quit. They came out from halftime. We made some adjustments, came out at halftime, and the kids never say die, and they just keep playing as hard as they can every single play. You know, we were very excited when we got the victory and, you know, that night, and then all of a sudden you watch the films and you look how bad you really played. So we had a lot of corrections, and, you know, we're looking to get better to move forward.
Where do you see the corrections in the film?
There was a ton. I mean, obviously, if anyone was there and anyone watched it, and if anyone watched the films, I mean, we went on, you know, two or three tip balls that could have went either way. They lost a couple fumbles, turnovers, but you know, we got to take care of the ball. We got to get better up front. The line is a very, very young line. And if we make the mistakes that we made in the first two games against Gloucester, I don't think we're going to fare too well.
Well, Gloucester is coming off a pretty big thumping last week and at their home against Beverly. I'm sure you guys scouted that game. And what's your take of coming out of that game for Gloucester? Obviously, they want to rebound in Swampscott.
Well, bottom line is, I know for a fact Coach Sorelli will have them breathing fire, coming off the ball. He will have the Gloucester fishermen ready. You know, we're going to have to be ready on the first play because, you know, they're going to bring a war for the first play. I mean, you don't see any Gloucester team stay down for two games in a row. Beverly's got to be that good because I see Gloucester and Coach Sorelli and Coach Walsh over there, and they always have Gloucester teams ready to go, and that was a very big surprise in our eyes.
Personnel-wise, Bob, whether looking back at last week or at practices this week, who are some players that you think are really kind of stepping up and contributing to Swampscott football this year?
As I said before, Liam Faulkner has stepped up tremendously. Who else? Sean Larizzi has stepped up enormous. One of the linemen that we have, a sophomore lineman, is Alex Sheehan. And obviously we had Frary come in, a quarterback. And, you know, that was our thought before the game even started. We were going to get him one or two reps through the game. And we just stayed with him because the tide was turning.
Well, he definitely brings a different kind of look to your team when you put him out there. Is that kind of what you're angling for?
A different look. Sometimes we got to rail him in a little bit because he gets a little too excited. But I would, too, if I was a sophomore and getting a shot playing big blue football. But, yeah, both of them looked great this week in practice. Leo Weil and Frary both looked great. We had a great practice yesterday, and we're looking to take it on Saturday.
All right, Coach, any other thoughts on Swampscott football as you get ready for week three?
Well, from what I see is we're on the third leg of the monster right now. When I looked at the schedule, we actually had English, Classical, and Gloucester. And since I can remember, I haven't had those three teams right off the bat, 1, 2, 3. So we battled for two of them. We need the kids to come out and battle one more time. And you know what? We got rid of this monster.
All right, Coach, good talking with you, and good luck on Saturday.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. That's Bob Serino, head football coach at Swampscott High School on MSONewsSports.com.
And welcome back live to Bloxage Field as we are ready for Saturday afternoon football here on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore along with Bill Newell, and Swampscott will be kicking off from left to right as Sean Lazari will be teeing it up for the Big Blue. Each team 1-1 as the conference schedule opens up for each of these two teams. Beautiful day here at Bloxage Field. Natural turf grass here and looking very good. It's in great shape, very dry, of course. And we're ready to go with the wind a little bit of a factor blowing across the field.
I am too.
Larizzi gets a good high kick that's going to send Goss back into the end zone, and he'll touch it back down there. So Larizzi with a nice kick. Gloucester will start first and 10 from their own 20-yard line. Now, they made a couple of changes on offense as Christian Sanfilippo will start in the backfield today. Along with Patrick Goss, they'll be the backs. They're going to move Alex Enos out to the wing. Mike Cody is the quarterback, Jacob Emerson the center, Andrew Amaral, Tom Donahue the guards, Kyle Acapel, Jake Schrock are the tackles. The tight end is John Philpott.
Gloucester breaks their huddle.
And let's see what the alignment is. Yep, Enos is a wing off to the left, Strong left to the left, with Strong to the left, I should say, with Philpott, the tight end. Enos is in motion, and he gets the handoff on an end around. He's going to sweep to the right and get a first down out to the 31-yard line. First and 10, Gloucester right away.
Nice way to pick up, to get the game underway for Gloucester, sweeping the right side, right in front of the Gloucester bench. Tony Zirilli, head coach at Gloucester High School. Bob Serino, who you just heard from a moment ago, head coach at Swampscott High School. Larizzi's all over the place, Rick. You mentioned him on kickoffs. The Swampscott kicker, but he's, on defense and, very much a factor for this Big Blue team.
Yeah, he's one of the, safeties. Back on defense. Ball on the far hash mark. Gloucester moving from right to left in their new uniforms with their white jerseys and red pants, red helmets. Here's a give on the other side. Sanfilippo counterplay to the left across the 35 to the 36. So good yardage for Christian Sanfilippo.
C.J. Howard, the senior D-back, making the hit there on the Gloucester runner. So he had a pickup of an 11 and now a pickup of 5 here.
Positive yardage. Ball midway between the hash marks. Big Blue up front, they've got Ryan Flynn, Sean Powers at the tackles, Noah Carrero, and Dante Ceccarelli at the ends. First, second and 5 for Gloucester. Philpott is split this time to the left, split backfield behind Cody. And it's a pop pass over the middle, incomplete, intended for Philpott.
Sean Larizzi there on the coverage, backing off that receiver. You know, Swampscott was very impressive defensively in all of their games so far, so this is their third game, and doing some different looks. As folks are watching on the live video here today, they can see Gloucester kind of stunting a little bit here, trying to mix up the fishermen a little bit and try to catch them making a mistake.
Finishing off the Swampscott defense, the linebackers Liam Faulkner, Dominic Cottespotti, Tom Stevens, and the defensive backs Larizzi, Gambale, Venuti, and Howard, as Gloucester is right back to the line of scrimmage. Militello splits out to the wide right side, Strong left, handoff to Sanfilippo, sweeping to the right. He breaks a tackle, gets through, and he breaks it out to the 50, all the way down to the 45-yard line. Sanfilippo, a very hard runner, starting at fullback today.
Well, Anthony Michella was the saving defender there for Swampscott High School. If it wasn't for him, he would have gone all the way. Certainly went far enough to get the first down into Swampscott territory at the 46. Gambale also there with a hit.
18-yard gain. They put it at the 46. Decent crowd here for Saturday afternoon game, I guess. Nothing like the last two Friday nights that we saw. Last night was absolutely packed over at Peabody High School. Militello split to the left as Swampscott has 5 men up on the line of scrimmage. Sanfilippo mixes it up in the backfield, but he gets around the corner, 45-40, outside to the 35, and hurdles forward to the 30-yard line, and a saving tackle by Larizzi. Quarterback and running back hooked up legs that time. The quarterback fell, but the running back kept going.
Alex Militello with a great block there for Gloucester. They came around left end. That could have been, about a 10-yard game, but thanks to Militello's block, it turned into even a bigger game.
Yeah, it's down to the 29-yard line, 17-yard gain for Sanfilippo. So it's first and 10 on the near hash mark. Gloucester controlling from the outset, starting at their own 20. This will be the 6th play of this drive. Militello is off to the right side. Goss is the wing to the left in motion. Play action? No, it's a running play for Goss, I believe it is. He goes around close to the first down. It is Patrick Goss, close to the first down.
Yeah, Goss, a senior, 5'8", 140 pounds. Looked like, Rick, he wanted to cock his arm like he was going to pass.
That's what I thought. Yep.
But as he came around right end, so he's all the way down to the 20-yard line. Just nose of the football on the 20-yard line.
So it's second and 1 at that point. Gloucester with 1 pass play so far that was incomplete. Now they're on the far hash mark. They've got twins to the right side with 1 running back behind Cody. And in motion, handoff up the middle. It's going to be a first down play down to about the 12-yard line, it looks like. And that's Jermaine Edward carrying the ball.
Well, great line surge here for Gloucester. It results in a first down for the Fishermen. Yep. Game brought to you in part today by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. And, of course, you can watch these games at the Sylvan Street Grill. Today's game right at the grill.
That is so cool. So they're at the 14 now, continuing on the ground. The sun is behind the Fishermen, pretty high in the sky right now. Some wispy clouds in a beautiful, beautiful early fall day. Hand off first back on the fullback trap up the middle. Gets down to the 10-yard line, looks like.
Looks like Mac Midland in on the tackle there, a sophomore, big 6'3", 260-pound sophomore for Swampscott High School. 7 minutes, 4 seconds to go here in the first quarter. We're scoreless, Swampscott and Gloucester. Swampscott hasn't had their hands on the football yet.
Yep.
Big, long, churning drive here for the Fishermen.
I think it was Edward with the carry. Now let's see. Yeah, Edward is the left halfback, and the right halfback is Sanfilippo. And Sanfilippo gets the handoff, sweeping to the left, across the 10, to the 5, and pounding his way to about the 3.
Yeah, that's Christian Sanfilippo, the junior, 5'8", 170 pounds. So he's inside the 5-yard line. Ball just nosing the inside part of the 4.
7-yard gain, first and goal for Gloucester. This drive has been relentless. 6:22 left to go, first quarter. No score, but Gloucester knocking on the door, headed toward the big blue field house, the street side of Loxage Field and the scoreboard side. Same configuration with twins off to the right side. Militello split out to the right. Sanfilippo, trap, handoff, close to the goal line.
Indication is that he didn't make it, though, but he got close.
Mm-hmm. Looks like it's at the 1. Yeah, right there at the 1. Second and goal from the 1.
Right in the middle of the field, looking right at the scoreboard as well. Under 6 minutes now to go in this first quarter.
Mike Cody on the far sideline talking to Coach Cirilli, getting a play. Gloucester got called for a delay of game last week, and we saw one last night that was waved off. Don't usually see it very much in high school. They get a little more time than the pros do. Second and goal, right in the middle of the field between the hash marks. Handoff, keeper by Cody, and he is in. Touchdown.
Well, they faked the handoff to Jermaine Edward, kind of playing a fullback, and he kind of led the way in blocking ahead with just a little over 5 minutes remaining here in the first quarter. Gloucester goes on the board first, an 80-yard drive. I would say it was methodical, Rick, but they had some big plays, so it was a little more bolder than just a methodical drive, an 80-yard drive to start this game.
Very impressive, 11 carries, or 11 plays, I should say, 80 yards on the drive, taking the lead 6-0 at the moment with 4:58, it looks like, to go in the first quarter. They attempt the point after, and I don't think they got it. Goes wide right. Schrock tried the point after, and that's been a bugaboo. Special teams have been a bugaboo, but it's 6-0 Gloucester.
Four and a half minutes to play here in the first quarter. We're brought to you in part today by Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go, enjoy the local flavor. And by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire, Moynihan Lumber. And don't forget our friends at Moore GMC of Danvers. What a great day to go car shopping, huh? Serving the North Shore since 1969, Moore GMC at 84 High Street. Check in with General Manager Jeff Klickstein at Moore GMC. Like, great to have them aboard with us. And as I mentioned earlier, game is being shown at Sylvan Street Grill today. All of our live video streaming games, thanks to the work of Andrew Nicastro, our streamographer here at MSONewsSports.com. And Monday night, it's North Shore Sports Night. Monday night at 7 o'clock, football talk and more here on MSONewsSports.com with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns.
And we hope you're enjoying this and hoping you're enjoying high school football. Let us know. Let everybody else know. You can email us at MSO News Radio. Let me try it. The email is MSO News Radio at gmail.com.
News Sports. It's the website, MSO News Sports at gmail.com.
I only had one cup of coffee this morning. That's the problem. Say it again.
I thought you had a lot of coffee. MSO News Sports
at gmail.com. Thank you.
It's the website.
Thank you.
At gmail.com.
There we go. All right. Militello, right-footed kicker. High end over end kick that's going to come down to the 15-yard line. It's fielded there by one of the receivers who brings it out to the two. I think it's Larizzi,
yeah.
Brings it out to the 36-yard line. So excellent field position for the Big Blue to start their drive.
Keep an eye on the Big Blue. It is Leo Weil at quarterback. Again, Weil, the senior. Coach Serino was telling us that he had a good practice this week and getting ready for this week's game. Weil, 6 foot senior, 180 pounds. And here, with just 4:19 to play in the first quarter, Swampscott putting their hands on the football for the first time.
One of the two captains on the team. And they'll split out Dante Ceccarelli wide to the right with a man in the slot to the right. That's Ian Hamilton. And twins to the left as well, looking to the right, almost intercepted. As Militello had his hand on it, the intended receiver was Ceccarelli, but Militello batted it away at the 45.
Saw a little collision there with a defender and a receiver, but no pass interference on that. Wild.
Timo Liakopoulos is the center. Alex Sheehan, Ryan Flynn, the guards. Noah Levine and Noah Carrero are the tackles. Sean Larizzi, Jason Brenner, Liam Faulkner, Dante Ceccarelli are the receivers. Three to the right, one to the left. One man in the backfield with... We're going to have a timeout here.
That would be Gimbali, the halfback to the right side.
Yeah, I thought Swamps got pulled up, but now they're back at the line of scrimmage. Wiley under center. Wild under center. He lost it.
I think Gloucester might have this.
It's on the ground at the 34.
I think Gloucester recovered this.
They
fumble.
Do. Yeah. They do. Oh, boy. Disaster for Swampscott.
And I don't know who that was.
My, my.
Right there was Eric Cameron, but I don't know if Cameron got it or not. I mean, that's a tough break for, a huge bad break for Swampscott. That and now it's first down Gloucester at their Swampscott 35.
That thing looked messed up from the start, Bill, as they pulled up. The linemen got down, they pulled up, and the quarterback, Wild, was looking over to the left, and then they ran the play, and it didn't turn out too well. First and 10, Gloucester at the 34. This will be Enos coming around from a wing. He cuts it outside. He's got some room. 35, 30, but a penalty flag is thrown at the 20-yard line.
Well, Larizzi playing back deep for Swampscott makes the tackle. That's not a good sign when your deep guys are making the hits and pushing the runners out of bounds. Would appear that this is going against Gloucester.
Mm-hmm. They got it down to the 22. It would have been a 13-yard gain, but we'll bring it back.
Yeah, they're marking back from the 23 or so.
Comes back to the 33, yep. So, where's the referee? He didn't give us a signal.
It's got to be a hold, though, right?
Yeah, it's got to be, but he didn't give it to us. Didn't give it to us. Okay, so we'll call it a hold. So it's 10-yard loss. After the gain, it was a 13-yard gain, but the holding call puts it back to the 33. So it's first and 8 for Gloucester. No, I guess I don't understand that.
Yeah, first and 8, yeah.
Okay, because they got the first down, that's right. Very strange play. Anyway, this one's busted up in the backfield as Edward gets nowhere, and he stopped for a loss.
Big stops there by Swampscott's Dante Ciccarelli and also Sean Bowers for Swampscott High School.
Loss of a yard back to the 34, so it's 3rd and 9.
Ciccarelli is another player to watch if you're watching at home. He's right now it looks like a D end, but he's number 7, one of the co-captains on this team. He's a junior for Swampscott.
Well, Gloucester started off very crisp, but a penalty now, and then a good defensive play by the Big Blue. It's second down, and about 8 or 9 to go for Gloucester. They are at the 34 with 34 in motion. That's Militello. Pitch to Enos, trying to sweep to the right. Blockers in front of him, gets it all the way outside, down that sideline, and near the first down marker.
Well, Gloucester
fans.
There's
a penalty, yep. Yeah. Oh, flags flying all over the place.
I don't know if that was Leo Weil on the tackle or one of his other teammates. Weil was one of the two players there, but they're saying that they're a little too aggressive pulling him out of bounds, it appears. Personal foul against Swampscott, and that doesn't help either.
No. The gain was, I think, let me see, just to about the 25.
I'm wondering, Rick, over the years, how many times have you said pitch to Enos in covering Gloucester football?
Or pitch to blank, fill it in, right?
Oh, no, yeah. But pitch to Enos. Yeah. I think that's happened a number of times over
the last
years.
2 years for certain. He's the workhorse, no question. So the ball goes down. Locate it for me, Bill. 14.
First down for the fishermen.
So with the personal foul?
You know, Rick, I'm going to put that at the 13. That ball's on the 13. It's two stripes in.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's on the 13-yard line.
I think you're right. First and 10 from the 13. Counter play, run play. Militello cuts it inside the 10 down to the 5. So a close to first down run for Alex Militello.
And again, Larizzi standing right at the 4-yard line or 5, you know, kind of waiting for the runner to reach him. Finally does, and he wraps him up.
8-yard gain for Militello. Ball sitting right on the 5. 2:31 left to go first quarter. Gloucester up 6-0. Second and 1 to go for the first down and 5 to go for the touchdown. Sun is out shining brilliantly now with those wisps of clouds. Just a gorgeous day. No foliage yet, but it's coming.
It's a little color way over there by the service station there.
Pretty cool. Okay, kind of play the other way. This time, Militello with it, or check it, Sanfilippo with it. He waltzes into the end zone. No, yes, he's got it.
Yeah, 4 yards.
Sanfilippo, yep, touchdown.
Well, again, they're doing what they want to do and not having a lot of problem doing it, is Gloucester right now, putting their second touchdown on the board, 12-0 the score. 2 minutes to, I'm sorry, Rick, minutes to play first quarter.
My bad. Sanfilippo extends the Gloucester lead to 12-0, as you mentioned. That is 7 plays and 35 yards. So it's 2:03 left to go in the first quarter. Still in the opening quarter. Gloucester will go for two with I formation stacked up behind Cody. Militello sweeping to his right. Check it. It's give me a break here. Patrick Goss, I'll get it right, goes in for the 2 points.
Leading the way in the blocking department was Tom Donahue, the senior guard, kind of pulling around right end and doing the blocking for him, and kind of went in almost untouched there. Wind blowing in the face of the Fishermen here in this first quarter. And so it's now 14-0, Fishermen up on top. We're brought to you in part today by Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. They're located at 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn. HarringtonTrophy.com. Quality products, exceptional customer service. Harrington Trophy.
So Gloucester has had 19 snaps to one for Swampscott.
Well, that one snap was a fumble, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess you call it a play, but not I mean, but that's it. It was a turnover, basically.
No, and they've got to get together right now. I mean, the Big Blue have got to make at least a first down or two here and slow down the scoring of Gloucester, because it's just been too easy up to this point. So, once again, it'll be Gloucester kicking off from right to left. Alex Militello will be teeing it up. And it'll be Brett Gambale on the near side and Sean Larizzi on the far side deep for the Big Blue. Half-decent crowd on the near sideline. Pretty good crowd on the far sideline for the Fishermen. So everybody's masked on both sides of the ball as Militello will approach the ball and bang it with his right foot, end over end short. Larizzi again at his 15 on the near on the far sideline, cuts it to the middle to the right sideline, has an opening, breaks a tackle, gets it out to the 40. Nice run back by Larizzi.
Good tackle there. John Mondello making the stick right at the 40-yard line or so. And Larizzi with a nice return.
So Swampscott starts its second drive. That should allow us now to set the Gloucester defense as we see three receivers go out to the far side of the field. That's the left side for the quarterback, and one to the right side. Hamilton is on the short side of the field. But it's a keeper by quarterback Weil as he is wrapped up after about a 2-yard gain.
Tackle made by Gloucester's Alex Militello, the senior, kind of wrapping him up after a gain of 3 yards, rather.
Yeah, they give him 3. I thought he only had 2, but I did get to 3. Looked like it was going to be handoff to Gambale. That was an option, and the quarterback decided to keep it. Jake Schrock, Andrew Amaral are the defensive tackles for Gloucester. John Philpott, Jacob Emerson are the ends. Tommy Donahue, Eric Cameron, Jermaine Edwards are the linebackers.
Didn't look like he was going to get the yardage, positive yardage, when that play started, too. So,
all right, quick shotgun as Wild pumps, holds onto it, and is buried for a loss by Tommy Donahue.
Yeah, Donahue not fooled at all. He was coming at the quarterback. There was a pump fake, as Rick mentioned, but Donahue just came in and enveloped him.
Enveloped. I like that. 7-yard loss. 48 seconds left, clock running, 14-0, Gloucester.
Kind of swallowed him up, too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was not a pleasant handshake.
So now they're not going the right way here. Negative yardage here.
Again, Hamilton on the short side, three receivers off to the left side. That would be Brenner, Faulkner, and Ceccarelli. Quarterback Wild, shotgun formation. Look out. Boy, he's got to escape. One tackler does. Throws it. Caught. Great catch by Larizzi. He's going to go all the way for the touchdown. He caught it behind the receiver at the 30 and scampers in. And Swampscott's on the board. Terrific catch by Larizzi. Looked like it might have been intercepted. He had to come back for the ball and did.
What a play by Weil. Weil had the wind to his back. He's kind of slicing a little bit into that wind. That wind is going left to right, but coming at us a little bit here on the near side. But I think that wind might have helped that ball a little bit. And it kind of hung a little bit. And look, as Rick mentioned, folks might have felt it might have been up for grabs for a moment. But Larizzi with the catch and took off.
64-yard touchdown, hookup, pass, catch, and run. Sean Larizzi, a junior, pulling that one in and then breaking the tackle and scooting another 30 yards into the end zone. So Weil will hold it, and the point after will be attempted by Sean Larizzi. It is now 14-6 with 12 seconds left in the opening frame. The kick looks like it goes through, and so it's 14-7, and Swampscott got what they needed.
That was Big Sean Bowers just a moment ago, number 79 of Swampscott, hustling onto the field for that point after kick. And it's a 7-point game with 12 seconds to go here in the first quarter on MSONewsSports.com. We're brought to you in part today by attorney Robert J. Madruga. See Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation. By the Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn, combining with the Lynn Arts. And it's a vibrant cultural center in downtown Lynn. Check them out at the LynnMuseum.org. And also Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, business insurance for complete peace of mind. Columbia Insurance.
That's exactly what Swampscott needed there, was to get into that thing and go forward after it looked like they were going backwards. And by the way, Weil just missed being tackled by Cameron, I believe it was. And Eric Cameron almost had him in his grasp but overran him, and then Weil threw that thing way downfield and it was a floater, but Larizzi making the catch and turning it into six. So Cody and Sanfilippo for Gloucester in this first quarter. Larizzi for Swampscott. And it's a 14-7 margin. Larizzi will kick a line drive that's going to bounce at the Gloucester 5 and into the arms of Goss. He's going to cut it out to the right side and stay on his feet out to near the 30.
Yeah.
Boy, that was almost disaster for Gloucester as it bounced off of Goss, but he was able to gather it back in and bring it out to the 30.
Yeah, that was a nice kick by Larizzi. You want to stress those receivers down there to make them work to field that ball, and that kick did exactly that. Quarter has come to an end here at Loxage Field in Swampscott with a score. Gloucester leading 14-7 over Swampscott here on MSONewsSports.com.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
All right, first quarter over, second quarter coming up right now, 14-7. I'm Rick Moore with Bill Newell, our stenographer, Andrew Nicastro, on a gorgeous Saturday afternoon of high school football. So Gloucester now has a first and 10 at their own 29-yard line. And they are leading by 7 now. Sanfilippo with the end of the sweep to the left. Cuts it outside, turns the corner, and gets the first down across the 40-yard line.
You know, you're going back to that pass from Weil to Larizzi, the big pass play. Swampscott still has the spread offense. They still like to pass the ball. But they haven't had a lot of big passes so far this year, this being their third game. So that's their biggest one, I think, of the year right there. A team that you associate with passes. But they've been doing a lot of short passes. That has been sort of effective for them. But that was one of their first big plays of the year.
And you would think that has to boost their confidence. Ball on the far hash mark. It's first and 10. Gloucester at the 41 after the Sanfilippo 10-yard gain. Enos will sweep to the right behind his blockers, cuts it inside, following the blockers, and gets it close to the 50. Call it at the 49. So it's an 8-yard gain for Enos.
Alex Enos carrying the ball.
Alex Enos, I'm sure I've called him Mark Enos about 30 times this year already.
A.J. Menudo with one of the stops. He was trying to catch up with him after the running back went past him. Menudo, number 23, in on the stop for Swampscott. Rick, earlier this year, the early games for Swampscott, very impressed with their defenses, but this Gloucester team with that wing tee can make defenses not look so good at times.
Well, they've got some yardage so far, 115 coming into this particular series. Second and two at the 49 on the Gloucester side of the field. Tight formation with Enos in motion. There's a handoff for the first down by Edward, and he has a big hole in the right side and carries it all the way down to the Swampscott 35.
Yeah, Larizzi on the tackle, and again, you just don't want Larizzi making all of these stops for you because he's in the secondary, so it's another first down as they move the chains along the far side of the field. 9.5 to go first half.
Jermaine Edward, 5'7", 170 pounds, gets it to the 36 is where they put it, the Swampscott 36. So that's 15 more yards. Gloucester continues to pound it on the ground, 14-7. Cloud coming overhead here, a little bit darkening it. Not darkening, but just putting a shadow on the field. Enos, look at those blockers in front. Sweeps to the left, follows the blockers, cuts it loose, down to the 20, 15, 10, and he's in, touchdown. Alex Enos breaking tackles, going to the left, following blockers, and adding another score. It's 20-7.
Tackle Jake Schrock had one big block coming around left end. And again, what did we find out? There is Sean Larizzi, the Swampscott defender, again trying to make a tackle at the 5-yard line. But by that time, the runner had such a head of steam, there was no way Larizzi could bring him down.
Cowabunga. And Farinas, that's his first score of the day, but that is a beauty. It's 36 yards, sweep to the left. And let's see if they get the extra point. This time, four plays, 71 more yards for Gloucester. So right now, with 9 minutes left to go in the half, Gloucester is close to 200 yards of offense. Goodness gracious. All right, split backfield behind Cody. Everybody up on the line of scrimmage for Swampscott. Picking his way is Sanfilippo. I don't think he gets in. No, sir, he does not make it. And so the score remains 20-7. Gloucester.
Just trying to get the tackler. Ian Hamilton was the linebacker that made the stop for Swampscott. Big defensive play by Hamilton there, preventing the 2 points.
So 186 yards of offense for Gloucester. And we've played 2 minutes of the second half. Of the second quarter. My goodness. Didn't see this coming. But it's 20-7. Swampscott scoring on the big play, as you mentioned, Bill. And they've shown that quick strike capability. We could be tearing up some score sheets here today.
We're brought to you in part today by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. And, of course, that's the place to watch the games. Follow us on Twitter at our Twitter account at MSO News Sports. And check us out with our email at msonewsports@gmail.com.
You didn't even read that. You just had that all upstairs.
Oh, it's all upstairs,
that's
yeah. It's
incredible.
Just it's like a vault.
Like a machine.
Yeah, that's what I... With a combination forgotten.
Yeah. I'm familiar with that that prospect. So Alex Militello will tee it up once again. 20-7. Touchdowns for Gloucester by Cody Sanfilippo and Enos in this first half. This is a high end-over-end kick. Guess who? Larizzi at his own 10. Right up the middle, 15, 20, 25. Slips at the 26. Trying to cut back to his left. Larizzi goes down, and it's first and 10. Swampscott at their own 26.
And quarterback Leo Weil back out there through the big touchdown pass their last possession a while ago. The senior quarterback, 6 foot, 180 pounds. Where's the number 4? Huddling up his team, so they place it at the 25.
It kind of makes it hard to shuttle the quarterbacks when you throw a touchdown pass like that and escape the pressure. Ball is midway between the hash marks, so we've got twins out to the right and twins out to the left with Gambale in the backfield with Wild. Gloucester jumps. They get back on side. Let's see. Whistle blows. I don't know. They're going to call procedure against Swampscott. Wow.
Well, story yesterday in the papers, or was it today? Actually, in today's paper, but the story came out yesterday. So we're so far ahead of things, Rick. That's hard for me
know,
to figure
this
out. But about high school football teams playing their Thanksgiving Day games at Fenway Park.
Ooh.
This coming year. So the Fenway Park. The problem with that is, by the way, is that they're going to have ice because they have the Fenway on ice, the hockey games, the college hockey games, that same weekend. So it's going to be tough.
I'd rather be in the community. First and 15, Swampscott back at their own 21-yard line. Shotgun, handoff, Gambale, run play to the 20. To the 21, maybe.
Starting with the, you know, with the first and 15, are they... That always just makes the field so much longer.
Mm-hmm.
You're back now. You get pushed back to your own 20. You got a first and 15, down two touchdowns.
Second and 13, Swampscott.
Working into the wind this quarter too.
Well, successful on the last series. Now they're gonna send Larizzi and Brenner wide to the left. Faulkner, Ciccarelli wide to the right. Gambale is in the backfield. Quick pitch to the left side. It's complete to Ciccarelli, but he's downed at the 21-yard line after a very short game. Enos with the tackle.
Ciccarelli caught the ball, but had no place to go. 34, Patrick Goss.
Oh, it's Goss. I'm sorry. No, yeah. I thought it was 38, but he was slapping Goss's helmet.
Yeah, Goss made a nice hit. Was right there like glue on him. The wind's picked up here too, and again,
mm-hmm.
It's blowing in the face here of the blue here
on the bench side. Yeah. So it's third down and 13, and no gain. It was at the 22. Now they're going to send Brenner in motion to the right, and the left-handed quarterback is into the game. Bad pass, incomplete, as Frary was into the game, and he just threw it down, nose down, didn't go anywhere, and so it'll be fourth down.
Yeah, Colin Frary came in final moments of the game last week, tied it up for Swampscott, and then they ended up winning in double overtime against Lynn Classical at Manning Field.
So it's fourth down, and that'll send Goss and Enos back in punt receiving formation for Gloucester. Ball hits at the 47 or so and bounces to the 50.
Will Cronin covering the ball up for Swampscott.
Okay, so let's see. Swampscott actually lost yardage on that series. So they have a total of 56 yards of offense now. And it'll be... Gloucester, by the way, hasn't caught a punt yet this season. They have not fielded a punt yet in the third game, which is of interest. Coach Ingram telling me that if you're not going to field a punt, then put those guys up on the line of scrimmage and try to block it. 7:24 left to go in the first half. Fishermen break the huddle. It is right at the 50-yard line. Ball splitting the 50. Cody's the quarterback. One running back behind him. Double wing. Enos in motion. Hand off to Goss. Great ball handling, and he goes forward. It's Edward taking tacklers with him for the first down to the 38-yard line. Edward.
Yeah, Jermaine Edward. Almost like he was swimming his way up through upstream or something or other, where he was going through that line and just churning through the defenders there.
Ooh. Kept those legs going and taking people with him. Great ball handling, too, as it looked like Edward was actually beyond the quarterback, and he still was able to reach forward and get it to him. Big Blue now with six linemen up front. The linebacker's up close. They know it's going to be a run play, and it is. And Filippo going to his left, falling blocked. He gets into the secondary, down to the 30, breaks it down the sideline, 20, 10, cuts it back to the middle, and it's another touchdown for Gloucester. Sanfilippo goes all the way, 39 yards, and it's 26-7 with Gloucester.
Wow.
Woo.
6 minutes, 44 seconds to play in the first half. Gloucester's coming to town here, kind of trying to make a statement here after last week's thumping that they took at the at home against Beverly High School. How about Beverly's win last night, Rick?
Very, very impressive. Yes, very, very impressive. And, Bill, their special teams are far, far and away better than anything I've seen in a long time. Field position. It's amazing.
What was the we'll follow up on that in just a moment.
Yeah, there looks like they'll line up for 2 points once again as Sanfilippo gets his second touchdown of the afternoon. Looking for two. Double handoff. Goss going around to the left. Has to stop. Cut it back in toward the goal line. He's not going to get there. So they stop another two-point conversion attempt. 26-7 Gloucester. With 6:44 left to go. So Sanfilippo's 39-yard touchdown sweep extends the Gloucester lead, and that is a two-play, 50-yard drive, 236 yards of offense. What were you going to ask me about the Beverly game?
First of all, I just want to credit Brett Gambale with that tackle. I believe it was Gambale who made that hit. I was just curious what it was that makes Beverly look that impressive, especially against a team like Peabody last night.
Well, defense is so good. Their defense is most excellent. Peabody could, Santos still had almost 200 yards, but it was sort of like the bend don't break thing, and they were always able to stop Peabody when they needed to, and then the special teams, their punt team is so good, their kickoff team is so good, and it just, Matt Madden has to be the best kicker in the league.
Well, we were at Peabody last year, and Santos was stopped pretty much without many yards by Winthrop, on a Friday night over there last year. And whatever they did it. They stopped Santos. Not a lot of people did that last year.
30 carries last night, 185 yards, but no touchdowns. Well, they might have got the one. I don't remember now. I don't have it. But still, you give up 185 yards and you win handily. That's pretty amazing. 6:44 left to go. 26-7. We're still in the first half. So Gloucester bouncing back, and they've got more people in the stands on the far side now. And pretty good turnout here on the near side for the Big Blue. Militello puts a short kick up this time. It's going to be fielded by Larizzi at the 24. Scoops it up, cuts it to the middle of the field. He's got a lane, 30, 35, and downed at the 40-yard line.
Well, nice return by Larizzi. Getting it on out to the, looks like the 41-yard line. Hey, coming up this week, it's conductor Keith Lockhart and friends coming to the Lynn Auditorium October 1st. Check that out. You can get tickets at lynnauditorium.com. Steve Krause ran a feature with him, talked with him earlier this week at the item on Friday.
Cool. He's been around 20 years now or more already?
20 years, yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
So that's my brush of greatness, seeing Steve Krause this week.
Talked to Keith
Lockhart. And he had talked to Keith Lockhart. That's not bad, right?
And I'm next to you.
Exactly.
So
right.
it's really cool.
I'm going to just touch your shoulder right there, Rick. There it is, okay?
Okay. We just got a text from Tim Kearns that he talked to Roger Rosinski and Dan Bauer. I guess he's over at the Bill Hamer location.
Nice.
So we appreciate that, and we'll have that up soon. Keeper by the quarterback. Wow. Trying to get out of the backfield. Does. Goes forward, breaks some tackles, goes out of bounds.
Oh, geez.
And there's a flag. Rightfully so.
You can see Weil a little upset, but his teammates are wisely holding him back.
Yep.
And
Hit by Gloucester, and that's going to be a big one.
Well, he got it. Let's see. The ball, I think, will be spotted out of bounds at the 47. Ballpark 47.
Would have been a six-yard gain. They'll get the first down with the personal foul and put it deeper into Gloucester, into Gloucester real estate.
One of the other programs coming up at the Lynn Auditorium, you can get tickets at lynnauditorium.com, by the way, is Molly Ringwald and the Breakfast Club movie, a screening with the quintessential 80s film, and megastar Molly Ringwald for an after-movie discussion Q&A makes for an unforgettable evening. That's October 17th at the Lynn Auditorium.
Is Steve going to talk to Molly Ringwald, too?
I would not be surprised.
Boy, I would if I were him. All right, so it's at the Gloucester 38-yard line as a result of the personal foul. So it's first and 10 for the Big Blue. And I got to check. I think they only have that one first down prior to this. That was the touchdown. Let me double check here. That's it. This is their second first down. Their second first down of the half. And it's aided by the personal foul at the Gloucester 38 on the near hash mark. Trips to the right. Gambale handoff, wrapped up in the backfield, and dumped right there.
Well, Jermaine Edward with the hit there, just wrapped him up. Loss on the play of at least 3 yards.
Wow, back to the 41, yep. So again, Tim Kearns over at the dedication of the weight room, is it?
Yeah, the weight room over at Beverly High School. Mm-hmm. And that's... Bill Hammer's a special person, and that's a nice honor for him, and...
And thanks to Tim for getting that sound. We'll have
Absolutely.
That posted. Yep. Gloucester coming with the blitz, it looks like. Now Weil looks over to the sideline to see if he should change the play.
I was thinking of Tim earlier today. I'm wondering if he was going to come through for us, and thank goodness he did.
He always does. He always does.
I don't know about, yeah. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Fine.
All right, pass out to the right side, incomplete. Way up high, incomplete, intended for Ceccarelli.
Yeah, Dante Ceccarelli, the wideout, 6'3". And
we have a penalty afterwards. This is going to be unsportsmanlike conduct against somebody. I'm not sure against whom.
Ian Hamilton coming off the field, number 88, if you watch on video there. Tall, 6'4", 189 pounds. That's lanky right there.
So I think, now they've got the flags here. I'm looking at the official, the referee, to see what the call is. I think they're going to turn it down because it'll be a fourth down. I have no idea. They didn't. All right, it's being stepped off against Swampscott. So the Big Blue are amassing back at their 44. Still looking at the man in the white hat. Still don't see a signal, do you? Nothing. Ugh.
Like 27 to go, I guess it is, right? 27 to go.
26, 27 yards to go.
Yeah.
28 yards for the Big Blue.
Well, I presume it was something that happened after the play, obviously, and ball goes back to the 44, dead ball foul. So, third down and forever for the Big Blue. Tim and I once saw a third and 70, or Paul and I did over in Salem. Third and 70, honest to God. Okay, Gambale in the backfield with the quarterback on the shotgun. And it's a keeper by the quarterback. He's going to be driven back for a loss at the 37-yard line. That just isn't working.
Well, right there, Oliver Emerson and also John Philpott there to wrap up the runner. There's no way to go. Nowhere to go at all.
No. All the way back to the 37, another 4-yard loss. So a net 4-yard loss on that series by the Big Blue. So two series in a row they've moved backwards. After getting a life down in the Gloucester side of field, they were at the Gloucester 38. So, Larizzi, a high spiral that's going to be fair caught by Alex Enos at the 39-yard line. And for the first time this season, Gloucester fields a punt and save themselves some field position.
Yeah, looking up into, might have been a tough sun there. Got that kind of milky clouds around here as well, but mostly sunshine here this afternoon at Bloxwich Field. Isn't this one of the great kind of old traditions, Rick, that we have that goes back, that playing football Saturday afternoon in Swampscott? Another one was playing Saturday afternoon at Hurd Stadium in Beverly.
We were reflecting on that earlier, on what a beautiful stadium Hurd is, and the beautiful field, and the great sight lines we had to watch those games.
Yeah, that was a good spot to watch. And this is a good spot, too. This, for our video, I don't think we have a better spot for our camera than right up above us here.
And the press box is closest to the field than any other field. So Sanfilippo sweeping to the left, cuts it outside, 40, and close to the 50 before he is dumped. Call it the 49, that might be a first down.
Yes, Sean Rowe, I think, on the tackle for
Christian Sanfilippo, Gary.
Short of the first down, call it the 48.
One down by number 22.
9-yard gain.
Gambale on the tackle. Mistake there. Brett Gambale, the senior.
Well, Bill, Gloucester is threatening to put this thing out of reach. 26-7 already. 4.5 minutes left to go in the half. On the far hash mark, Fisherman moving left to right, second and one at their own 49, and they'll take the first time out of the ball game.
Well, Swampscott has made things interesting. They've done some come from behinding in some of their games, even ones that they haven't won, but they did come from behind last week to win in double overtime against Classical. We're brought to you in part today by Sylvan Street Grill. And Sylvan Street Grill features these live broadcasts right at the restaurant. And they're on one of their TVs there. But we're grateful for that. It's a good time. We'll have a live video streaming game next Friday night as well. And so if you happen to be out and around, maybe at the malls, and swing in there and watch some high school football on Friday night at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Winthrop football coach Sean Driscoll just below us scouting this game for the Vikings. Enos, handoff, cuts it up to the middle, breaks a tackle, 45-40, and inside the 40, close to the 35.
C.J. Howard in on the stop for Swampscott, but again, just so many yards before Howard can even wrap him up and get to him. Churning, yards. It's like you're on the highway and you're watching your odometer when you're on the interstate. You're just getting these yards, and it's.
I know. I don't know how I'm going to total these up before.
I mean, they got they have some good performance numbers. They're getting some good miles per gallon here. This Gloucester team is here today.
They're not Volkswagen, apparently. First and 10, Gloucester at the Swampscott 38. Run play up the middle, and this is
48.
Yeah, Latassa, he's going to go all the way. Just a fullback trap. Latassa in the game at fullback, blasted up the middle, and it's another touchdown for Gloucester, covering 38 more yards. Mm. Oh, Andrew Latassa with the touchdown.
Well, basically untouched. Mm-hmm. You know, so he gets 38 yards for the touchdown, and makes it 32-7.
This is hard to believe. So Latassa adds a 38-yarder, three plays and 61 more yards for the Fishermen with 3:39 left to go in the first half. And that was just a fullback trap up the middle. Okay, they go for two, pump fake by Cody. Ooh, he tries to get in the end zone. He does, but he is punished for his efforts. But he gets the 2 points.
Sean Bowers nailed him. I thought Bowers had nailed him and was going to prevent him from going into the end zone. So give Cody some credit for getting around that hit and into the end zone for the touchdown, for the 2 point conversion.
34-7. So Latassa into the game as a fullback, as Gloucester playing just about everybody at this point. 61 more yards. This is incredible, Bill.
You know, Rick, I forgot to tell you, I actually have a dentist appointment this afternoon I have to go to now.
Okay. 300 yards of offense for Gloucester from scrimmage in the first half. 52 for Swampscott. Hey, this is just hard to believe. 297 yards to be exact, but good grief. Touchdowns. Cody, Sanfilippo, Ina, Sanfilippo again, and now Latassa in this first half. Larizzi, the only touchdown for the Big Blue.
This Gloucester team plays Revere next Friday night. Revere, 19-14 winners over Lynn Classical last night in a come-from-behind win to beat the Rams to move to 3-0 on the season. Again, our email address is msonewsports@gmail.com. And our Twitter feed is the same. It's just the website address, msonewsports.
I have to ask Scott, who Swampscott plays next week. Ground ball fielded by a receiver at the 38-yard line. And he's going to go lateral, but not forward, as that was picked up by Liam Faulkner. So not much in return, but good field position nevertheless. Now, the Big Blue need to get aggressive here. They've got to come up with something and get on the scoreboard rather soon. 34-7, Gloucester. Now, Weil is back into the game at quarterback. Clock is stopped. Again, just a gorgeous, gorgeous fall day. Topsfield Fair coming up in a couple of weeks.
I think 1 week, right?
It's
got to be 1 week away, right?
Yeah.
Does it start on the Friday or Saturday? I can't remember.
I can't either. We'll have to.
It must be the Friday.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And it goes through Columbus Day. Bad pass, incomplete, intended for Jason Brenner at the 47.
Yeah, it looked like it was a little behind him. He had to stop, kind of left, lost his footing. Alex Enos, the defender there for Gloucester, number 38.
I should stop saying bad pass. It was an incomplete pass.
I kind of wobbled. It was a little behind him. I think you're off the hook on that one.
Well,
I mean, I know we don't want to be negative here, but
no, and I can't throw it.
But people,
and these guys can throw it, but sometimes it's a little better than other times. So Weil is the quarterback. He's looking to his right, fires out to the right, and it's just in and out of the hands of, again, the intended receiver, Faulkner, and it was just up a little too high, and it wouldn't have been much of a gain had he caught it because the defender was right with him. That was Patrick Goss.
Yeah, Goss there defending. Now that ball, I would say that was a well-thrown football. You want your receiver to go up and get it and beat your defender, and so it was there.
Tight spiral. Third down, third and 10, Swampscott. 3:20 left to go first half. Twins to the right. Faulkner and Ceccarelli. Twins to the left with a slot in the left. Back to pass, Wiley. He's under. Oh, look out. He gets away from the rush. And he throws it with his left hand away, intentionally grounding the ball. I don't think they're going to call. Yeah, they do. There goes the flags. I was just going to say, look, let the kid have his life. My goodness. So it's intentional grounding. They'll lose the down, and it's going to be fourth down anyway.
Well, Jacob Emerson was coming right at him, right? That was Emerson, 62?
Or do I believe so.
Yeah, and it was, yeah, it was Emerson. Yeah. And so Emerson was about to wrap him up, and somehow he got away from him.
Yep.
And like a cat with a couple of lives there. And he just tossed the football away.
Well, 34-7, 3:13 left to go, first half. There's intentional grounding. And, of course, it's the loss of down, making it fourth down. It would have been fourth anyway. So the Big Blue will punt. Ceccarelli will be the punter this time. Good snap. And nice punt. This is going to... Oh, they let it go again. Goss lets it go, and it's another 10 or 12 yards for Swampscott. Coach Ingram has got me doing that now, expecting the teams to field the ball and at least have it where they catch it. But it's a good punt for the Big Blue, pushing Gloucester back to their own 31.
Yeah, that was a really good punt by Ciccarelli, because not only was he getting a nice rush put on by Gloucester, but he also was able to just get that punt away, and then it was an effective punt, landed and took a Gloucester, a Swampscott roll, rather.
Two first downs for the Big Blue. One on the touchdown, one on the penalty. That's it for the first half. That's amazing. Very unexpected. Cody is still the quarterback. Gloucester on the far hash mark. Again, they're going into the sun from left to right. Big Blue with six down linemen. Man in motion is Enos. Blue jump. Going to be a pass play. Unloads it. It's complete to Enos at the 45 of Swampscott. Breaks a tackle. Goes down to the 30. Breaks another tackle and goes all the way. Oh, my goodness. The longest... Uh-oh, now we have a penalty. Longest pass play of the year for Gloucester easily, but there is a penalty at the tail end of it. Cody to Enos. That went to the 45-yard line. He did the rest.
I was watching back down the other end, Rick, so I didn't see what happened. The flag was thrown in the back of the end zone. So there is a penalty.
Yeah, it was when Enos went into the end zone, there was a Swampscott player following him, and they just threw the flags, and it was too far away for me to see. And maybe the video showed it, what the offense was. Personal foul. Yeah. On Swampscott. So apparently somebody whacked somebody after Enos went into the end zone. But
yeah.
Unbelievably, it's 40-7. This is just, I don't get it. 68 more yards. Good heavens. Gloucester has 355 yards of offense in the first half. Hello? Excuse me. 365. Good grief. 365-52. This is nuts. Schrock will attempt the point after, and it's good. So it is now 41-7 with 2:50 left to play first half. Enos with his second touchdown of the quarter. Let's see, 68 yards pass play from Cody. And that was a nice pass by Cody, by the way. Again, it was from the Gloucester 32-yard line, complete to the 40. So it was a long toss. And Schrock adds the extra point.
We're brought to you in part today by Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969, 84 High Street. Moore GMC, all those great GMC products, and a great day to go car shopping today at over in Danvers. Folks at Moore want us to remind everyone that... they're not related to Rick Moore.
Yeah, I would think they would want to.
They just want to make sure that people know that.
Uh-huh.
That, they've been a family-owned business, mm-hmm. community involved, but they're not related to you, okay?
Probably a wise thing. Brett Gambale is on the far side, and let's see. I think it's Colin Walsh is on the near side. He's a sophomore back, as they're going to give Larizzi a rest, I would presume. Now, the penalty is tacked on after the touchdown.
Yeah.
So, Gloucester kicks off from the Swampscott 45. Personal foul, penalty against the Big Blue. We still have 2:50 left to go in the first half.
scored every single time.
So Militello boots it into the end zone and out of the end zone. So it'll be Swamps got at their own 20. So I'd like to know what you do now if you're Swampscott. I mean, I'd like to ask Coach Ingram. Coach, I don't think Coach Ingram was. Well, he was. He's been in this situation on the other end, on the low end as well as the upper end. Well.
Let's hear it, people.
Well, Colin Frary will be the quarterback here, the left-hander, the sophomore, 5'10", 155 pounds. So Frary, number 5, comes in to run the team for the Big Blue.
And there are a lot of brand-new jerseys in for Gloucester. They have almost an entire second unit. There's almost a completion that was intended for Faulkner. Little high, and Faulkner was wrapped up just as the ball got to him.
Alex Militello there with the defense for Swampscott under 3 minutes to play here. In the I thought we were less than 2:45 a moment ago, but now we're 2:45 to go. It happened to us last night in Lynn, too, at the first half.
Guillermo Sperani is back on defense, and Latassa's on defense now. And they've got Ryan Gabriel as a defensive end. Lots of substitutes in the game right now for the Fishermen. See if we can pick up some of the others as well. 73 out there, and I don't know who 73 is, but we'll get that for you.
Chris Casantari.
Yep. Left-handed thrower, incomplete, as it was intended, I think, for Faulkner again.
Well, I thought it was going for Faulkner, but Faulkner is the guy, was the shorter receiver, while further on down for Swampscott was Dante Ciccarelli, and Ciccarelli actually almost came up with that football on the grass.
You got it. So Gloucester, let me see if there's another number there I can check on for you on defense. It is Jacob Russell, a junior, into the game now at defensive tackle. So a lot of second liners in there. There's a pass out to the left. This is complete. Going to go for big yardage. 40, 50, and into Gloucester real estate. Saving tackle by Cameron on the quarterback who caught the ball. Wild caught the ball from Frary, the quarterback. Quarterback to quarterback.
Well, it's kind of fitting today. One of the things that I know you and I, Rick, talk about Hamer over the years, Bill Hamer, the former Beverly coach. Well, I'll follow up with the story in just a moment, but they dedicated the weight room to him today. Follow up with the story in just a moment.
Back to the line of scrimmage at the 36 of Gloucester. It is first and 10. Gloucester jumps offside. They got a free play. Frary throws it downfield. Well overthrown. Looking for Ethan Friedman.
Looks like a free play. It looks like an offside call against Gloucester. The thing about Hamer, let's say Hamer of Beverly found himself up, as Gloucester does now, 41-7. He would be throwing in subs, now. And that's what Gloucester's doing right now, too, as well. And he would do that, and it was always something that, I think that other coaches respected and that, he had some good teams back then. And I think what it does, too, is it allows young players to play and get some snaps. And there's nothing like a game situation for experience.
He'd also do it with only a 14-point lead. Oh, collision as Weil is belted as he tried to catch the ball. Enos on the defense. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Alex Enos here. Boom. Second down and 5. 5 yards. Picked up the 5 yards on that penalty.
Wow. So yeah, it's 2nd and 5, and it's at the Gloucester 31-yard line with 1:24 left to go first half. This has been a long, long first half with all the kickoffs. And a number of incompleted passes. So this time, Swampscott has Weil as a wide out to the left, and they have A.J. Venuti as a wide out to the left as well, as Weil goes in motion to the right side. So they overload the right but throw to the left. And this one is going to be up for grabs and caught on a really nice play by A.J. Venuti. He out-jumped everybody and hauled it in at the 11. First down.
Well, that's the jump ball kind of thing. A.J. Venuti just waiting for it, going up, but timing the jump just right, coming down with the football. First down at the 11-yard line.
20-yard gain. Swampscott right back to the line of scrimmage as it's 1-11 and counting. Also in the backfield is Tom Stevens as I go to the program now. Low snap, picked up. Stevens hit in the backfield, buried at the 15.
Whew. Well, that was a great stick there by Eric Cameron, who came in there, just was on his ankles right away.
So it's about a 4-yard loss back to the... Let me see where they put it. Go ahead, Bill.
You know, Rick, I just saw a seagull here, and it always seems to me when we're at a Saturday game, whether it's in Beverly or Swampscott, it's usually in the second half. Doesn't matter what time the game starts, but seagulls don't show up until, like, halftime, second half. But, you know, there just seems to be a lot more of them.
Okay,
maybe the place quiets down. I don't know what it is.
Well, that's when all the food is on the ground, so they can come get all the popcorn and all the leftover bread from the hot dog rolls.
That's probably it.
They're scavengers, but they're not stupid.
So they know, they're probably listening, you know, to the game, and they know when it's halftime, and that's when they come and pick up the scraps.
I had not thought of that.
That's true.
Trips to the right, one receiver to the left, second and 12 for the Big Blue. They can get the first down. Quick pitch out to the left side, incomplete. Venuti tried to run with it before he had it.
Yeah, that's a little scary right there.
So this is the longest drive, possession-wise, for the Big Blue today. This will be the ninth play. They've got a third down, third and looks like they can get to the 2 for the first down, and they're at the 14. That's about right. So Frary in relief of Weil, but Weil is a receiver wide to the left side. Twins out to the right as well. Frary looking things over, gets the snap, looks to the left, wobbly pass, incomplete.
Well, it almost, while running a wideout spot or a slot spot that time, but just a little ball was a little thrown ahead of him.
Well, he had the big play of this series, covering 44 yards while on the receiving end and running end after the pass by Frary.
But I wonder if they'll look at that and say, maybe that might work. Let's go back to it and see, because he looked like he could be open.
Fourth down. And 12 for the first down, 13 for the touchdown, or 14 for the touchdown. Gambale is to the left of the quarterback in the shotgun. Low snap, but he has it. Rolling to the left, Frary, and he releases it. It's caught. Touchdown. Guess who? Weil in the end zone.
Well, not the same play at all, but to an open receiver. That time, Weil, instead of cutting to the middle, kind of stood right, went lined up wide left, and kind of put his knees down and just waited for it a yard into the end zone.
Yeah, and Venuti almost knocked it away. But on his knees, Weil gathered it in, and it's now 41-13 with 45 seconds left to go. So that's a 9-play, 80-yard touchdown drive by the Big Blue as they get their offense together. And Weil is credited with the 14-yard reception. Frary the pass, trying to right here very quickly, and they'll go for 2. Frary is the quarterback with Gambale to his right. Looks over the middle. It is out of the hands of Weil. He had it and lost it.
Yeah, Weil right there. It looked like almost catchable. Might have been a little bit behind him as he spun and kind of tried to grab it. So it falls incomplete, and we're at 41-13 here with 45 seconds to play in the first half. We're brought to you here today by a number of folks, including Honeydew Donuts, all around the North Shore, but in particular the ones like on 114 there by Route 1 and down in Wakefield. I'd like to thank Honeydew Donuts for joining us for our 2015 broadcast. Honeydew Donuts is the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Maybe you'll run into Wally. That's probably the number one reason why you might want to go to Honeydew Donuts, to meet Wally.
All right, you're going to a football game. You got to get some, what is that coffee?
Oh, you think the Mocha Madness.
Mocha Madness. You think you went to Honeydew Heaven. Love it. Very catchy. Oh, my goodness. What a first half. This is amazing. All right. It's down 45 seconds left to go in this first half. Last night, that was the other thing, Bill. I totally forgot. No huddle for Beverly. Perfectly executed all night long. It just completely caught Peabody. I don't know if it caught him off guard, but Beverly was able to execute just perfectly with no huddle. And Marty and I had a hard time keeping up with the stats. Hard to write when you're trying to watch the play, or hard to watch the play when you're trying to write. So Swampscott will kick off and they'll have a new booter in there.
I think it's Mason Schultz.
Okay. And it's a short end-over-end kick. It's going to be fielded by Sanfilippo at the 27. He goes straight up the sideline to the 42.
Schultz, a sophomore, 240 pounds. 40 seconds to play here in the first half. Yeah, with a no huddle all night, then you don't even need Marty last night, did you, Rick?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I certainly did.
All right.
Yeah, Marty helped me with the numbers. It was very fast. My goodness. And we sort of do the same thing, so, yeah, you know, I got to find other things to do.
But, you know, and again, like we saw Beverly once, and they just seemed really overall quick as a team.
Very, very much so. Well, first down for Gloucester now at the far hash mark after the long 9-play, 80-yard Swampscott touchdown drive. 40 seconds left to go in the half. Here's a run play to Patrick Goss. Cuts it outside to the 50, following a blocker, 40. Still following blockers, 30. Cuts it back to the middle, hauled down from behind at the 25-yard line with 28 seconds left to go.
Well, Dante Ciccarelli finally knocking him down from behind to the 25. Gloucester runs, threatening here with the wind at their back in the final seconds of the first half.
Very patient run by Goss,
yes,
following
right.
his blockers, holding, actually holding on to a blocker.
Yeah,
just kind of cruising along.
Just kind of steering him like a shopping
yeah.
cart,
yep.
you know, at Market Basket.
25 and 7, 32 yards for Goss. Yikes. Guys, we're talking 400 yards of offense in the first half. I don't know. I don't think they did that against Bridgewater Raynham. 6 or 7 years ago. My goodness.
Sure to check out North Shore Sports Night Monday night at 7 with Rick and Tim Kearns.
First and 10 at the Swampscott 25-yard line. They go in motion, but there's a illegal motion play against Gloucester. Quarterback moved, another player moved.
Illegal procedure against Gloucester.
So bring it back to the 30.
First and 15
for Gloucester. Oh, Tim texted us some photos here. That's nice of Coach Hamer.
I have to ask Andrew if he can post them. Oh, that is nice, yeah. Look at Coach Hamer. Yep, all dressed up. Very nice. Congratulations to Coach Hamer, and thanks to Tim and Coach Bauer for doing all that. Well, it's first and 15, Gloucester. 28 seconds left to go. First half, 41, Gloucester, 13, Swampscott. A wide out to the left is Alex Militello. Split backfield behind the quarterback. Man in motion, and it's going to be a run play for Edward. He cuts it up the middle. He may go all the way. Nobody touches him. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Another touchdown for Edward from 30 yards out.
Yeah, 30-yard run, Gee. And again, another one of those almost untouched kind of runs, kind of, and a little bit of improvising there by the Gloucester running back.
Three plays, 57 yards. We're down to 19 seconds left. Let's see. It's now 47 to 13. And Edward gets on the scoreboard. 30-yard, just that was just up the middle. Schrock with the extra point attempt. It's good. It's 48-13, Gloucester. Three plays, 57 yards. So, the most amazing number I've seen in a long time, 422 yards of offense for Gloucester in the first half. 132 yards of offense for the Big Blue, 80 of which came on their most recent drive. Gee whiz, 48 to 13, am I saying that right? How many different players? Cody, Sanfilippo, Enos, Latassa, and Edward. Five different players scoring for Gloucester in this first half. For Swampscott, it's been Larizzi and Weil. Well, you can bet we're going to see many more substitutes at this point. For Gloucester, they just sent Kevin Gabriel into the game. He's a sophomore. Trying to see some of these others on the kickoff team. 27 is Jeremy Sperani. Number 6 is John John Mondello. 52, I don't even have him a program. 19 seconds left to go in the half. Line drive, Militello kicks it, comes up to a receiver at the 30, going to go to the 35, and out to the 40-yard line, I think. Close. And still on the feet, keeping it going, is, Ceccarelli. I should know that. And I think it's going to end the half.
It does.
Oof. Mercifully. Wow. So at the half, Gloucester just scoring, I believe, on every time they had the ball. And they had one punt? No. I have to check that out. I think they scored every time they had a ball. So at the half, Gloucester leads this one by a score of 48-13 from Bloxage Field in Swampscott.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
This is Mayor Safathi Romeo Taken, and I'm running for Mayor of Gloucester. I'm so proud to be your mayor. We're bringing Gloucester back, together. I want to be elected. In order for me to be elected, I need your vote on September 29th. For me to be on the ballot November 3rd, please, don't assume, go vote September 29th. Since I took over position in January, we have accomplished more than I ever thought we could do. We conquered the winter, we balanced the budget, we brought Gloucester across the bridge to the State House, we ensured heritage and culture and preserved it, we made Gloucester alive this summer. I was born here, lived here all my life. I'm Gloucester, and I want to move Gloucester forward together. So please, vote September 29th, and vote Safathia.
This is MoreStuffOnline.com, the halftime show, brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Well, we're at the half, but we have like a final score where we're looking at here at the halftime at the stadium scoreboard here. Gloucester leading Swampscott 48-13 in our live video broadcast here this afternoon. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore and Andrew Nicastro here on MSONewsSports.com. Hang in there with us just ahead. We'll recap some of the scoring and talk some high school football in just a moment here on MSONewsSports.com as our halftime rolls on from beautiful Bloxage Field in Swampscott.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Don't miss a rare opportunity to see Keith Lockhart up front and personal at the Lynn Auditorium. He'll be playing with five hand-selected pop musicians October 1st. This is a great chance to see Keith in an intimate setting where he'll sing, play, conduct, and talk about his life. Then enjoy a 30th anniversary screening of John Hughes' classic The Breakfast Club, followed by a discussion and Q&A with 80s superstar icon and novelist Molly Ringwald. In addition, just 20 tickets left to the Super VIP After Party with Molly. For tickets, visit LynnAuditorium.com or call 781-599-SHOW.
Since 1897, the Lynn Museum has celebrated the history of one of America's most consequential cities. Recently merged with Lynn Arts, we are working to build a dynamic cultural hub where our past comes to life and new art is created. Join us for the final month of our baseball exhibit, America's Favorite Pastime, A Lynn Perspective, open until Saturday, October 3rd. The Lynn Museum is located at 590 Washington Street and open Wednesday and Friday 12 to 4, Thursday 12 to 7, and Saturday 10 to 3. Find us online at lynnmuseum.com.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn. Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
We are back. It's halftime, and it's my pleasure to bring on Matt Roy of the Daily Item and other adventures as well. Matt, of course, no stranger to MSO No Sports, although we do have a new website. Matt, you and I were talking during the break.
Where do you start?
I don't know. I mean, this is just remarkable. What are your thoughts?
It's one of the most dominant offensive performances I've seen a football team put together in a long time. Seven possessions, seven touchdowns, and only 29 plays, Rick. That's the scary part.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, I have him for 422 yards of offense.
I had 431. That's impressive either way.
And 132 for the Big Blue, 80 of which came on that last drive.
Yeah. Take away the two big, really, the one big pass play that they've had, the two big passes, and you only have about 50 yards of offense for Swampscott, other than the 44-yard and 64-yard pass.
And I think we have five different players for Gloucester who have scored. I don't know. It's mind-boggling. But
this is like the Gloucester teams we remember, when Paul Ingram was coaching, when Terry Silva was coaching, when they had so many weapons that you can use. It's not just one kid that you have to try. You can have four or five now.
Well, and they were held in check rather easily last week by Beverly, and Beverly dominating Peabody last night, which was a surprise.
That makes you wonder how good Beverly really, really is.
I think the thing that really impresses me with Beverly is their special teams. Just amazing. And Matt Madden, as you know, can do everything. But, boy, he's so important on special teams, especially with his kicking ability.
Yep. And with Christian Miller back there returning punt kicks, we're taking the one back to the end zone last night after Peabody was in the gets back in the game last night. Kind of turned the whole momentum of that game right around when Peabody was starting to get a little bit of a foothold last night.
Well, and Revere pulled out another one. Congratulations to Coach Lou Ciccatelli. They pulled one out last night, and they are now 3-0.
That's going to be the feel-good story so far to start the year in the Northeastern Conference. And if you talk to people before the year, it's not a surprise. They were a young team the last 2 years, played a lot of freshmen and sophomores, and those kids are starting to show their maturation process, and Lou Ciccatelli's got a very good football team over there.
And you know, for Revere, year in and year out, they always have a good first half, and then they tend to fade after that due to injuries, due to other reasons, many distractions for high schoolers these days. It's not easy. So, hopefully Coach Ciccatelli will keep this one rolling along.
Don't underestimate how important getting to the playoffs was for them last year. And playing Masco as tough as they did, almost beating Masco in the first round of the playoffs last year. That was a great building block for that team, and you can certainly see where they've gone with it this year.
Marblehead Danvers of interest.
That game didn't surprise me. I know people want to say Marblehead's going to compete with Beverly, but Danvers is pretty good too. They come back from where they did in the fourth quarter, down 15 points to tie that game. It's a hard loss to take because you fumble inside the 1 yard line in overtime. But Sean Terrio's got a lot to build off out of that game, and I'm sure Jim Rudloff's not happy with the way his team finished that game last night.
Well, This one is, again, 48-13 at the half, talking with Matt Roy of the Atom. Matt, what else catches your eye in sports in the area?
I mean, it's been a kind of a weird year. There's a lot of teams that you thought would be good haven't been so good, and there's a couple teams that have kind of emerged in other sports that it's a kind of a pleasant thing to see, which you like seeing at this time of year.
Give me an example. Soccer, field hockey, what are you looking at?
Well, I mean, you look, PBD girls soccer, maybe they weren't supposed to be as good this year with what they lost, but they're only undefeated. The Swampscott boys soccer team's having a great year, the one that plays down here, scoring goals left and right under Eric Robinson. I think they've lost, I believe, one game, so there's a lot of really good stories out there to start the year so far.
Well, let's talk about those on a Monday night. Answer your email and we'll get you on, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks, Matt. All right, that's Matt Roy of The Item, no stranger to MSONewsSports.com, as we mentioned. We need to take a break, and then we'll come back with some stats for you. 48-13, Gloucester leading this one at the half.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, general manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Bendruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come and take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
This is MoreStuffOnline.com, the halftime show, brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Well, five different scores for Gloucester in that first half, 48-13, and the numbers are absolutely staggering for the Fishermen. Hello, everybody. I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell. Our streamographer is Andrew Nicastro, and this one has been really weird from the outset, as you heard Matt Roy mention. Seven possessions for Gloucester, seven touchdowns in that first half. Alex Enos for the Fishermen, five carries, 94 yards on the ground, including two touchdowns and one catch for 68 yards that resulted in a touchdown. For the Fishermen, they also have big yardage from Sanfilippo, as Christian Sanfilippo, eight carries, 110 yards. Patrick Goss, four carries, I believe, for 54 yards. I may have his off a little bit. But the big number, 422 yards of total offense for Gloucester in the first half, 132 for Swampscott. And I don't know what to say. The numbers do tell the story in this one.
Yeah, it's just running out of things to say here. But what a devastating first half performance here by the Swampscott Big Blue. Both teams are out on the field, and we're going to have the kickoff, but we'll have it for you in just 30 seconds here on MSONewsSports.com.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on Tuesday, September 29th, and I approve this message.
We are ready for the second half kickoff. The wind again blowing across the field from behind the Gloucester bench toward the Swampscott bench. Gloucester kicking off from right to left in their new uniforms with the huge numerals. Very easy for us to see up here. Hallelujah. Alex Militello puts the right foot into it. It's a line drive kick that comes up once again to Ceccarelli at the 28. He goes forward to the 40, to the 45, and again tackled out near the 50. Nice return by the Swampscott captain. Ceccarelli, 6'3", 194.
Nate Young in on the stop for Gloucester High School, the junior. Good field position for the Big Blue to start here in the second half. Just underway, second half.
Yeah, as we we'll try to get some of the other numbers. It looks like Gloucester with some subs in already on this first series of the second half. See if we can get them for you. But again, I don't have Hoop 68 on the program. But for Swampscott, the quarterback is Colin Frary. He came in relief, and that means that Wiley, starting quarterback, is a receiver slot to the left, Twins to the right, and Gambale in the backfield with the quarterback, Frary, calling the signals. Looks like they're going to change the play. Everybody looks at their wristbands, and now Frary gets the low snap, has it, he's going to pass, throws it over the middle, knocked down, intended for Weil, and it was covered by Andrew Latassa.
Yeah, good play by Latassa because that ball was well thrown. It was right on the money. And give the quarterback, Frary, that time credit for hanging in there. And his line held it for him, too. There was a lot of pressure on them. They bent, and but they didn't break, and Frary was able to get the pass off.
And again, we'll try to pick up some of the substitutes in the game. Chris Casaretti, as we mentioned.
For Gloucester, you're
yep.
doing that? Okay.
Number 68,
yeah.
53 out there as well is Peter Desimore. Frary crouched over, gets the snap in the shotgun, rolls to his left. Nice spiral, but overthrown at the 40-yard line. He was looking for number 23, A.J. Venuti.
Yeah, there's a 52 out there that we don't have a number for, right? 52?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's also a 68 out there that we don't have a number for.
So we'll have to get those.
Or we don't have a name for. We don't have the number or the name.
Well, so coaches are really going to the bench, getting some of the younger players in again, or some of the players that don't get a lot of action, for the most part. And Swampscott has a new running back in the backfield as well, with Frary the quarterback. Long count, he's in the shotgun. It is Tom Stevens in the backfield, so not that new, but usually it's Gambale back there. Twins to the right, twins to the left, ball in the near hash mark, Big Blue going from left to right, third down and 10. Plenty of time. Frary shoots it incomplete, almost intercepted by Alex Militello. It was in his hands, but Frary, but it bounced out of his hands. He was intended once again for Ceccarelli.
Yeah, Militello really had it right in the breadbasket, but couldn't hang on to it. Now kind of a crosswind coming from the far side to the near side now. And Ceccarelli to punt for Swampscott.
Fourth and 10 from the Big Blues 49-yard line. Good snap. Right-footed kick is a short kick that's going to be fielded by Militello. He fair catches it at the 27-yard line.
Well, I think he was wondering whether he did. I call for that fair catch or didn't I? And the other
better be sure.
Tom Scott thinking, well, did he or didn't he? And the whistle blew. Patrick Goss calling for the fair catch for Gloucester.
I think you want to be sure when you do that, and guys coming down at you at 900 miles an hour. Well, clock is stopped. 48-13 is where the score remains. Gloucester, for its first possession, second half, starts off at their 26-yard line, and a new quarterback is into the game for the Fishermen. It is Nate Young. And so a lot of changes. They have a new center out there as well. That's William Moore. And I'll have to go to the program for all the backs that are out there. So a completely new lineup for Fishermen. Under center is Young. It's a handoff on a run play, and that is Jared Martin with the carry. 5'4", 140.
Yeah.
My. And where do they get it? At the 1 yard gain. So 1 yard gain for number 18 on your program.
Yeah, Nate Young, the quarterback, in now for Gloucester, 6'1", junior, 185 pounds.
And Young has had some experience at quarterback and some experience on defense as well. So we've got one running back in the backfield, and it's an entirely new lineup. I'll go to the roster as we have a man in motion. It's a sweep to the left, and it's going to come outside, tripped up and still on his feet. Bowling forward is Tyler Munzeving. And it's going to be short of the first down, but they get yardage out to about the 34.
Jason Brenner with good pursuit for Swampscott. He's the first person to try to put the wrap on the running back that time. Brenner, a senior, 5'9", 159. Came up, slowed him down so he could be finished off. But it's a third and short, third and two from the 34.
7 yard gain, though, for Munzeving, and so it is third and three. Gloucester has not had very many of these in this game, but they do right now. Moore, by the way, is 5'11, 180 at center for the Fishermen. Very tight backfield, close to the line of scrimmage with Munzeving in motion, but it's a handoff up the middle, and it's Andrew Latassa getting the first down.
And his William Morris family also would like to remind listeners that they're not related to you at all, correct? Is that
yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm glad you pointed that out. They get it out to the 43, 9 yard gain for Latassa, so it's first and 10. Good crowd standing around, or staying around, I should say, on the far sideline. 8:45 left to go. Third quarter, 48-13, Gloucester. They have the ball, and it is first and 10 at their own 43 on the near hash mark, moving from right to left. Split backfield behind Nate Young, the quarterback. All the starters on the sidelines at this point. Long count, handoff, run play around the right side, and back up the middle carrying the ball is John Mondello for about five.
5'8", sophomore for Gloucester High School. Clock running here with eight. This is over 8 minutes to go in the
3 yard gain for Mondello. And again, 94 yards on the ground for Enos in the first half, 68 yards receiving and running. Sanfilippo, 8 carries, 110 yards. Patrick Goss, 4 carries, 54 yards, 422 yards of offense in the first half. All right, so it's second and 7 for Gloucester with the man in motion. Munzeving with it. Oh, he's going to be retreating and hauled down from behind in the backfield. Big loss.
Well, William Moore is the center. He's a junior right now. Some of the players in there for Gloucester High School. Chris Cassanteri is a tackle, or rather also offensive lineman in for Gloucester right now. Also in the lineup right now. Oh, we don't have 68. That's right.
Yeah.
We've already tried that one. I'm sorry.
Jared Martin had the ball that time, and Jared was thrown for a 7 yard loss.
Jack Davis is, though. We have him. Jack Davis is in the line now.
Third down and 14 for Gloucester. Split backfield behind Nate Young. Tight formation on the left side. And this is a double handoff. Run play coming around the left end. 40 and downed at the 45-yard line. Nice defensive play, and Munzeving with the carry.
Yeah, so it's A.J. Venuti who just tripped him up. So Venuti, I'll tell you, again, until earlier tonight with the power, this afternoon, the power that Gloucester was showing in the first half in their offense, but The Swampscott team was really tackling well in their first couple of games this year. That time Benuti really kind of lasered in on him and was able to trip him up.
First fourth down of the day for Gloucester. They will punt as the ball is just shy of the Gloucester 45 on the near hash mark. Clock moving at 6:19.
Yeah, that means you're having a good day when it's your first punt here in the near the end of the third quarter, huh?
I think so. And the punting game has not been the Gloucester's strong suit this year, as they've had some trouble with the kicking game. Trouble with the snaps. There's a high snap. Donatello gets it, and he hurriedly gets the kick away. Bounces at the Swampscott 35. Looks like it's going to roll dead right around there, right around 33.
Ends up being a decent punt for Militello, despite the pass, the high snap rather, and then it takes time to bring that high snap down more than you think and get your footing set because you have to leave your feet, so it's an unnatural thing to kind of do.
They've had trouble with the snaps all season to this point. So Militello, as you mentioned, Bill, good job getting it away. All right, so Big Blue take over at their 34-yard line with 5:52. Left to go third quarter. Quarterback is Frary. Colin Frary. Low snap. Handoff run play. Gambale. Oh, he's got some big yardage. Look out. He may go. He is. He's going to go 20, 10, 5, and haul down just short of the end zone.
65-yard run, I think. It would have been a 66-yard touchdown.
Uh-huh.
So 60... Let's see where they put the ball down. I don't think they're giving them the one, though. Is that the two, maybe, Rick? I think it's the two.
Well, the chain gang is trying to catch up to the play.
Maybe
so you're right.
Maybe a 64-yard run.
Yeah. Call it the two or the three, yep.
First and goal for the Big Blue.
So it is first and goal for Swampscott. Frary throws it over and complete.
We got a whistle, though. We got a procedure call against Swampscott. So it was, play was whistled.
Nice pass. He threw it very high to Hamilton, was waving his arms, and the 6'4 receiver jumped way up to get it, but I'm going to bring it back.
Yeah, I like that play, but Gloucester will have seen it now.
So Gambale with the big run puts Swampscott in scoring range now. It's out, back out to the 8-yard line. So it's first and goal from the Gloucester 8. And it's a low snap. Picks it up off the ground. Throws it to the right side. And in and out of the hands of Ceccarelli, Militello almost had it.
There's a flag down, too, Rick, on the near side. I assume that that's going to be against Gloucester.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a free play. Yeah, offside against Gloucester.
So they get the 5 yards back. Goes back to the three. Let's see. So it remains first down. So first and goal from the three for the Big Blue after the 63-yard run by Gambale. And he was hauled down, I believe, by Nate Young, a saving tackle. So Frary has Gambale in the backfield, in the pistol. Twins out to the left and right. Gambale, handoff, gets a block, but he's going to be stopped at the line of scrimmage. 4:53 well, left to go in the third.
It was, well, that number 52 who we don't have was there make their first stop for Gloucester High School.
Second and goal from the five.
Touchdowns in the game for Swampscott. Arizzi and Weil have the scores. Weil as a receiver. Touchdown pass from Frary, rather. Gambale in the backfield. They again are splitting the using the whole field. Fires it over in the right and incomplete. And in the hands out of Ceccarelli. And Ceccarelli shoves Militello after the play. A little frustrated. Understandably so. That's a nice pass. 4:12 left to go. Clock stops with the incompletion. Wind still blowing across the field. Gloucester travels to Revere next week.
To the left, excuse me.
Well, that stadium is great. It's really a great take. Same,
yeah, you've been there,
same
yeah.
spot. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
All right, Frary throws it over the middle. This one's intercepted, I think, or caught. Which is it?
Intercepted,
yep,
by
intercepted.
Foster.
Yep.
Yeah, that
Let's
was
get the number.
That was Patrick Gross intercepting it, I believe.
Okay. Well, that stops that touchdown drive. It's a touchback, and that brings the ball out to the Gloucester 20.
Yeah, Goss intercepted it. 3 minutes, 48 seconds to play, third quarter.
First down for Gloucester, first and 10 on the 20-yard line.
Intercepting in the end zone, bringing it out to the 20.
So the clock stopped once again, and the fishermen with their reserves in the game. They've played. Coach really started subbing midway, late in the second quarter, and they come out to start the third quarter with most of the subs on offense. Everybody is a non-starter out there right now. Nate Young is the quarterback with a running back behind him and a man in motion. Play goes to the right. I don't know who's got it, but it is a run play. And looks like it might be Munzavang, and gets it across the 35 to about the 37-yard line. Bill, can you get the number? Last guy up is in that pile. I can't see him.
The runner.
18?
Yeah, yeah, they called it Martin.
Jared Martin, yep.
Okay.
Yep. Gets the first down. Nice run by Jared Martin.
First down for Boston.
Clock moving at 3:20. It's at the 37, so 17-yard gain. First and 10 on the far hash mark. Sun back out here brilliantly at the moment. Run play to the left this time. And penalty, this is going to be on Gloucester, I'm sure, all over the place as the run gets out to the 45-yard line, carried by Munzavang.
Yeah, three flags falling there. Something happened, my friend.
Mm-hmm. And Gloucester knows it. They're retreating. So we've done nine games through the first three weekends, Bill. And is there a pattern here? I think you see Beverly leading the pack.
Yes, I think that kind of look at who they played, right?
And
you know, Beverly winning big at Wakefield, Beverly winning big in Gloucester, and now Beverly winning big at Peabody. Maybe they're home next weekend, right? No, is it following weekend? I guess at Endicott.
Ball is back at the 27. A run play goes nowhere for Gloucester as Martin can't get around the left side. And so,
Alex Sheehan, one of the defenders there for Swampscott High School, along with Venuti, right? No, maybe not.
It's at the 25, 2 yard loss. And so we'll have a second and 22 for Gloucester. Jared Martin is in the backfield along with Tyler Munzavang. Nate Young is the quarterback. Other guys in the game, Stephen McGrath, a center, junior 5'9, 190. He's a lineman anyway. I'm not sure he's at center on this series. Young is, no, he's not at center because number 71 is at center, and that is the aforementioned William Moore. All right, we've got a slot in the left, and that's Mondello. Receiver off to the left, Young under center calling the signals with seven men up on the line of scrimmage for the Big Blue. Play action, run play for Young. He's going to keep it, go to the right side, being hauled down from behind at the 25 for no gain. And it'll be fourth down, I believe. No, third down coming up. So it's third and 22. All the scoring in the first half. 61 points combined in the first half. And somebody calls a timeout.
And I think we'll take it. Why don't we take this timeout? We'll be back with more just ahead here on MSONewsSports.com.
This is Mayor Safathi Romeo Taken, and I'm running for Mayor of Gloucester. I'm so proud to be your mayor. We're bringing Gloucester back, together. I want to be elected. In order for me to be elected, I need your vote on September 29th. For me to be on the ballot November 3rd, please, don't assume. Go vote September 29th. Since I took over position in January, we have accomplished more than I ever thought we could do. We conquered the winter. We balanced the budget. We brought Gloucester across the bridge to the State House. We've ensured heritage and culture and preserved it. We made Gloucester alive this summer. I was born here, lived here all my life. I'm Gloucester, and I want to move Gloucester forward together. So please, vote September 29th and vote Safathia.
Well, that was actually the end of the third quarter. We thought it was a timeout, but the clock was off by about a minute and a half, and we now go to the fourth quarter with Gloucester leading and facing a third down and about 22 yards to go for the first down. Most of the crowd still hanging around for this one. It started off pretty decently, but Gloucester pulled away very quickly, scoring on its first seven possessions. Split backfield behind Young. Counter play, double handoff. And it is Martin with the carry. It's Munsevang. He's going to bang it out to about the 30-yard line. And it will be fourth down. So it'll be fourth down, and a long, long way to go as they get it to the 30, about a 5-yard gain. Gloucester will punt. They're moving from left to right. Clock moving. 10:28 left to go in this one as the footballs come flying into the stadium here. The little tiny ones by the chair being thrown by the cheerleaders. So we'll talk about this one and others on Monday night. Tim Kearns will not be with us Monday. See if we can get a guest. Taking another day off.
Why would he be?
I have no idea. I don't know. Bringing in the firewood, chopping wood. I don't know.
No, I don't. I'm sure that's not it.
You don't think so? Well, could be polishing his bike. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Militello will punt, and one receiver back for Swampscott. Off the side of his foot, it's a high kick that bounces at the Swampscott 45 and gets a roll inside the 40. Once again, nobody there to pick it up, and so it gets a Gloucester roll. And it's first down for the Big Blue. At their 39. I guess there isn't a fight song for a whale. They had the Michigan fight song, I think, before the game.
Now the Gloucester fishermen picking up, looking, have to get through the fourth quarter here, but leading big right here in the fourth quarter, playing at Revere, as we mentioned, next Friday night. This coming Friday night, actually.
Swampscott going with most of its starters in the backfield. Ferrari is the quarterback. Gambale with him. Looks to the left, comes back to Ciccarelli, and it's going to lose yardage. Back to the 37.
Well, he was wrapped up by Nate Young, and then he dragged Nate Young. You don't see that happen too often, but he just dragged him for a couple of yards.
Well, a little bit of a size difference. I mean, Ciccarelli's a big guy, and Young, not so much. Nate Young is, he's 6'1", 185. I take that back. That's not small.
Yeah, Tim rode the bike last night, you know.
No, he didn't.
Did he
really?
Yeah.
Under the bright moonlight. All right, second down and 12. Quick pass out to the left side, and Wild can't come up with it. He was going to get hit, and he knew it, and he turned his head as the ball was coming in. Defensive play by Jeremy Sperani. Sperani's got some significant playing time already this year, with a couple of big scores by Gloucester, the first game and now this game. And a big score the other way last week, too. So it's third down and 12 for Swampscott. Twins to the right, one running back in the backfield with Ferrari, who bounces up and down in that crouch position. Unloads it over the middle. Screen pass. It is complete to the 40, to the 50, to the Gloucester 40, and hauled down at the 43-yard line. Just a screen pass right in the middle screen to Tom Stevens, and he executed it perfectly.
Trying to do it's like Pentucket is Triton is leading Pentucket here, 7-3. And I'm trying to get the Ipswich Hamilton Wenham score. Maybe Ipswich is up in that game narrowly. I think both those teams looking for their first wins here today.
18-yard gain for Swampscott, and it's first and 10 on the Gloucester side of the 50 at the 43. Again, a shotgun with two receivers left and two right, one man in the backfield. This is a missed connection on the quarterback, but he picks it up and gets it back close to the line of scrimmage as he dropped the ball, turned around, picked it up, and then got back to the 44. So it's a 1-yard loss.
I disappeared. I was looking, trying to find some tweets there like Tim does to me. You know, he just like all of a sudden he's like,
he does that in the
spot.
Yeah, he does that in the studio too. Tim, hello, where'd you go?
I can see how it happens.
Well,
though.
Yeah,
you know, you're trying to
he's getting information,
some scores,
mm-hmm.
and so on. So,
yep,
you know, but not finding what I'm hoping to was hoping to find here.
Damon Brown is number 52. I don't know who texted us that for Gloucester. All right, this one's up for grabs. Who's going to get it? Off the fingertips of Young, and that was intended for Venuti at the Gloucester 20.
A.J. Venuti, incomplete. There's a flag on the play. Offside
against Gloucester on the play. 7.5 minutes to play here in today's game.
So somebody, I wonder if somebody in the stands is, I don't know, listening to us, and a parent is telling us who number 52 is. Damon Brown for
Gloucester. But how did they, who texted you, though?
And I don't know. Somebody's got my phone number. It's on the old website.
Oh, okay.
It is on the old website. Well, the penalty is against Gloucester on the offside. So they get 5 yards to the Gloucester 39. And so it is 2nd and 5 for Swampscott. Now they'll send 3 receivers to the far side of the field. That's on this near side to the left of the quarterback, Frari. 1 receiver short side on the right. Now they look for the change of play over here on the sideline by Coach Serino. Everybody stands up, and now they get back in position. And this is Gambale trying to sweep to the right. And he is met by a number of Gloucester players. First, though, Jermaine Edward was there.
Yeah, he wrapped him up, just tumbled down to the turf with him.
No gain?
Yeah, maybe a loss on the yard. No, they'll give him back the where he was, so no gain. Right? No loss, no gain.
No harm, no foul?
Yeah, something
all right.
Like that.
So it's 3rd down and quite a ways to go for the Big Blue. With the clock moving, 6:24, 48, 13, Gloucester, no scoring in the second half, if you can believe that. Good grief. That was the weirdest first half I have seen in a while. Okay, so it's 3rd down and about 9 to go for the 1st down for the Big Blue. 3 receivers on this side. Pass thrown underneath, complete to Faulkner. He's down to the 39.
Defensively for Gloucester High School, Jared Martin was there, the junior, 5'4", 140 pounds, bright sunshine. Had some filtered sunshine here this afternoon, but right now it's out just about 100%.
It's 4th down and 7 for the 1st down. Swampscott, of course, must go for it.
What direction will we find the moon tomorrow night, Rick?
It'll be up in the sky.
Okay.
No, rising out of the east, and the eclipse is supposed to be around 10 o'clock if we get good weather. And it's at perigee, meaning it's the closest to the Earth that it gets in its orbit. All right, Frari pump fakes, throws it long and over the head of Venuti. So it'll be a 1st down for Gloucester as they turn it over on downs.
Well, he was lucky to get that ball off when he did get it off, when he wanted to get it off, because if he had waited another split second, Jermaine Edward was right on him and would have pounded him down. So he was coming at him fast, the Gloucester defender.
Well, the clock shows 5:19. We don't know if that's accurate. It shows 5:19 left to go in the 4th. And again, Gloucester leading this one big time, and looks like the Fishermen will send in yet another quarterback. And they'll give Matt Smith some experience. He's a sophomore, wearing number 13, and a new running back in the backfield is Kevin Gabriel. So all kinds of new jerseys out there. And what is this one? Run play up the middle on the fullback trap, and just powering his way forward is Gabriel. Sophomore with some size, 6 feet, 170. He gets some significant yardage out to the 49. Where did the series start? At the 39? Yeah.
Yeah, well, 40. I think it's about the 40.
Okay. So it started at the 40, and they're at the 49. How about that? So Gabriel with some experience in the Gloucester backfield now. And Coach Ingram is fond of saying, if you can do this, get the younger kids in, it makes for a better week of practice, although that wasn't the case last week against Beverly, before the Beverly game. Once again, split backfield, the usual wing T with a wing to the right for Gloucester, strong right, and Munsevang in motion from right to left. Hand off to Gabriel, stands up straight, squares his shoulders, gets the 1st down to the Swampscott 46.
Hey, we're brought to you in part today by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. And also by Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy that local flavor. The only way to go, Honeydew Donuts.
Put it right at the 45, so it's a 5 yard. Check it, a 4 yard gain. No, it's a 6 yard gain. My bad. So 15 yards and two carries for Gabriel. Swampscott defense flip flopping. First and 10, 3:37 left to go. Gloucester moving from left to right at the Swampscott 45. Handoff is to the second back and forward motion again for John Mondello. Mondello gets it to the 41. No, 42, so a 3 yard gain. Second and 7 with the clock moving. And Gloucester next week travels to Revere. I don't know who Swampscott plays next week. I don't have it for some reason.
You know, I think I'm not sure if I brought that paper with me today, Rick. I think I cleaned my stuff out.
I don't see Scott out here, so. Second down and 6 for Gloucester. Here's a sweep to the right. This one's going to be busted up nicely by the Big Blue defense. And Munsevang with the carry. Manuti with a stop at the Gloucester 42, no gain. So it's third down and 7. And clock heading toward the 2 minute mark, 2:37 left to go.
Rick Swampscott will host Saugus here next Saturday afternoon at 2:30.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. So
late game.
Yep. Friday night games next week or this coming Friday, Marblehead at Peabody, Beverly at English, Salem at Winthrop, some of the games.
Eric Mauricio Perez is split out to the left on a run play by Gabriel. Gets near the first down, about a yard or two short at the 37. About another 5 yards. And it's at the 38. So it's a 4 yard gain. It'll be fourth down, and Gloucester, of course, will keep it on the ground, no doubt. Again, the new quarterback is Matt Smith, third quarterback of the game for the Gloucester Fishermen. Just an impressive, amazing offensive display in that first half by Gloucester. Fourth down and 3 yards to go, maybe 4 for Gloucester. Split backfield. I wonder if Gabriel will get it. He's been the workhorse on this third set of running backs. He does get it, and he gets the first down, pulling the pile forward to the 32-yard line. Man, he's impressing the coach. So it is a first down for Gloucester. First and 10 for Gloucester at the Swampscott 31.
Let's go, folks!
38 seconds left to go in the game. Bill Newell going downstairs to try to get some sound and some video for us for our website. This will probably be the last play of the game, and Gloucester will take a knee. So we'll go over the statistics for you and the scoring and wrap this thing up. As I said, Bill downstairs getting some interviews. As clock winding down at 15 seconds, very disappointed home crowd, of course. Gloucester coming back after a very disappointing loss a week ago to Beverly in a shutout, coming back absolutely big time, scoring 7 touchdowns on its first 7 possessions. So we will take a break, and then when we come back, we will wrap this thing up for you, as it is 48-13, Gloucester with the win. We'll be back.
A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria. Well, sometimes numbers don't tell the story, but let me tell you some numbers, and you finish the story. 365 yards of offense, 5 carries, 94 yards, 8 carries, 110 yards, 4 carries, 54 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That's all in the first half, as Gloucester goes on to win this thing 48-13, an amazing offensive display by the Gloucester Fishermen this afternoon. Well, we'll go over the scores very quickly. For Gloucester, they broke out on top at 4:51 of the first. As Mike Cody, the quarterback, 1 yard keeper, 11 plays, 80 yards, controlling the ball from the outset. Second possession after one play by Swampscott. Gloucester, 7 plays, 35 yards, finished off by Christian Sanfilippo from 5 yards out with 2:03 left to play first quarter, 14-0 Gloucester. However, Swampscott looks like it's going to make a fight as Larizzi scores on a 60-yard pass play from quarterback Wild, 3 plays, 60 yards, and the Big Blue are back in at 14-7 with just 12 seconds left to go in the first quarter. But then, 4 consecutive touchdowns by Gloucester in the second. Enos, Alex Enos, a 30-yard sweep, 4 plays, 71 yards at 9:05, 20-7 Gloucester. Christian Sanfilippo again, a 39-yard touchdown, as that was just a 2-play series and 50 yards for Gloucester. 6:44 left to go first quarter, 26-7. And then Andrew Latassa scores 3 plays, 61 yards on a trap play. 3:39 left to go in the half, 34-7 Gloucester. They're not done. Alex Enos, a 68-yard pass beauties. Pass play from Cody that covered 68 yards. Schrock with the extra point, 41-7 with 2:50 left to go in the first half. And then Swampscott came back as quarterback Mike Weil goes out as a receiver, and he was. He scored a touchdown from 14 yards out as quarterback Colin Frey, hooks up with him, and at 45 seconds left to go in the half, Swampscott's back on the board, 41-13. But then Jermaine Edward from 30 yards away scores 3 plays, 57 yards. 19 seconds left to go in the first half, 48-13. There was no scoring, blessedly, in the second half. Longest series for Swampscott was that second touchdown, 9 plays and 80 yards. So the final stats are just overwhelming. Gloucester, 500 yards of offense, actually just 3 yards short, 497 yards of offense for the Fishermen, 217 for the Big Blue. But for Gloucester, it is a convincing comeback win after they were pummeled last week by the Beverly Panthers. So that takes care of that business. Now, next week, we've got a bunch of games once again, and our video game is undecided at this point. We're not exactly sure whether our video game next week will be Gloucester at Revere or Marblehead at Peabody. It will be one of those two, so stand by the website. Our other game on Friday night will be Beverly at Lynn English. Don't forget North Shore Sports Night on Monday night at 7 p.m. And, of course, we have Trending Now with Josh Arnold live on Fridays at 10 a.m. And Bill Newell's North Shore Today every day goes up on the website around 8 o'clock every day in the morning. So watch the website for all the post-game highlights that Bill will have. He'll be talking to the coaches, and he'll have player interviews as well. That'll do it from Swampscott, as this one turns out to be a big win for the Gloucester Fishermen, 48-13. From Bloxwich Field in Swampscott, for Bill Newell and our streamographer, Andrew Nicastro, I'm Rick Moore. Take care.
This is NSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.